Okay, I'm joined now by Mark Butcher, England's finest opening batsman turned soul and R&B singer-songwriter. Thanks for joining us today, Mark.
No problem, no problem.
Excellent. I just wanted to talk to you really about your thoughts for the India tour, which I think we both suspect might be a bit of a tough test. I mean, how do you see the series going?
Going to be very difficult, for sure. The sort of deficiencies in the England side, which have been pretty obvious, I would have thought, for the last year or so, i.e. sort of inconsistency in top order batting, and particularly when playing on the subcontinent, sort of the lack of, I'd say, test class, let alone world class, spin bowling option, mean that it's going to be a tricky tour. It doesn't mean we're going to be utterly hopeless because we've got some very, very fine players in that side. And if this England team has taught us anything over the last couple of years, they learn fast and they play for each other. So, I don't expect it to be a walkover for India, but it's going to be extremely difficult for England to come back with anything other than a defeat, I would imagine.
Do you think that there's anybody that the selectors have overlooked that should be on the tour, do you think? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the Somerset spinner Jack Leach, I mean, have you seen much of Leach?
I've seen very little of him. Obviously, I know that he took 60 odd wickets at 2022 last summer, so he had a terrific year, and did wonders bowling on turning tracks for Somerset in their championship push. So, I mean, he'd be the obvious, the obvious omission, I suppose. I guess the only thing from the selectors' point of view was the fact that it very much is sort of his first season, which perhaps shouldn't count against him. But one thing that did count against him was the fact that his captain, Chris Rogers, and senior player Marcus Trescothick both at various times sort of spoke of the fact that they were concerned that he wasn't quite mentally ready for the challenges yet. So, if you're not getting a ringing endorsement from the people that share a dressing room with you on a regular basis, then perhaps the selectors ought not to be blamed for not going down that route and going down the route of picking Gareth Batty, who, vastly experienced. It's definitely it's a pick that says everything about England's dilemma with having top quality spinners, and it's slightly pragmatic, obviously. That's the situation England are in at the moment when it comes to spin. And that was pretty much admitted when 3 years ago or so England decided that Moeen Ali was going to be our sort of first pick spin bowler, despite the fact that he is a batsman first and foremost and a spinner very much second. So that's the situation we've been in for quite some time now.
Just going back to Jack Leach, I mean, I agree with what you say. It's very, very difficult when your county captain has given out signs that he might not be sure that you're mentally there. But I suppose that Somerset fans might be frustrated because England have just been bowled out by a 19-year-old. And it's a little bit concerning that a 19-year-old is kind of mature enough to play Test cricket. I mean, I don't really know. I suppose, do you think that maybe the selectors have been spooked by what happened to Kerrigan all those years ago? And that maybe they'd worry that they might wreck, play Leach too early and maybe ruin him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not in on the meeting, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. I've no idea on that score. Yeah. Fact of the matter is, he's not there.
It's a bit moot, isn't it?
He's not playing any part, but it's kind of moot, really.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the batting, what do you think England would do? Do you think it's a good idea to bring in Hamid and maybe bat Duckett at four? And is there anybody that...
Before the series started, that's what I would have done, yeah. In fact, Hamid opened the batting and Duckett in the middle order. But again, they didn't do that in Bangladesh. The issue has come with the fact that Gary Balance is unlikely to play in that first test match, so they're now looking for an option in the middle order. I don't think Hamid's going to get a game on the tour now unless things go incredibly badly.
Yeah.
And so the first test lineup is going to be with Duckett into the top of the order, and then perhaps move Johnny Bairstow up the order, perhaps bring Josh Butler into the side. What I would do is give Josh Butler the gloves and play Johnny Bairstow as a batsman only.
Yes, I
Johnny Best had the opportunity to simply focus on scoring runs. And, you know, he'd go back to being England's first-choice wicketkeeper batsman at the end of the trip, but the sort of extenuating circumstances on this tour that might mean you'd take a different approach. Again, I'm not sure that the selectors will do that, but that would be the solution to a difficult situation as far as I could come up with one at this moment.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I've got my doubts about... I can understand what you're saying about bringing Butler in to keep wicket and then push Bairstow up the order, because Bairstow's probably the third best... player on the side at the moment, in terms of pure batting, and he should slot in at five, I think, or four or five, and also to break up the number of left-handers as well if you played him. But the problem I have with bringing Butler in, if Butler was to come in just as a batsman, is that his first-class record in batting isn't really that good.
Which is why I wouldn't do it. I mean, yeah. He was left out of the test side in the first place against Australia, not because of his keeper, but because of the lack of runs. And nothing as far as I can see has changed in that, which is why I'm slightly baffled by the clamour to get him back into the team.
But me too.
Given that that's like the way they're going to go, that would be the way that I would do it.
It seems to me that Trevor Bayliss just seems to think there's something special about. I don't know if it's just Bayliss.
There is something very special about him, which is why, you know, again, sort of going back two or three years, I wouldn't have left him out. But the fact of the matter is, he has been out of the side. He has hardly played any first-class cricket to speak of whatsoever, and therefore, for him suddenly to be the sort of the answer to England's top-order batting woes seems to be a bit of a stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
To get him back into the side, I would do exactly as I've said. I'd move Bairstow up the order, give Josh the gloves, and have Josh bat at number seven. That'd be the way I'd do it.
Yeah. I think there's a case as well for moving Wokes up the order. I mean, Chris Wokes and also Adil Rashid have actually got higher first-class averages than Josh Butler. I'm not saying they're more talented than him, but in pure statistics.
Yeah, but we're not talking about sort of having to strengthen England's lower order, are we? I
mean, no.
Whichever order any of those guys go in, it doesn't matter as long as they make their fair share. It's about trying to get some runs out of the top five or six, which has been the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so if you had to give us a score then... what do you reckon it's going to be?
I don't know. I mean, I think England stand a chance of winning the odd test match.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give us one, and I'm probably going to give India three.
Yeah, that was my prediction, actually. I think that's quite astute, because, like you say, England do have a lot of very good cricketers and match winners too. I mean, Ben Stokes is on fire at the moment. I think we can cause an upset, and although India are a very good side, especially at home, they do have some weaknesses, don't they? I mean, we've heard that Rohit Sharma's going to be out injured now, I think. They don't have a settled opening combination. I think the talk is that Gambia is going to come in. And I think that if you can put India under pressure, and if we can win the important tosses as well, I think... Yes, that's true, actually. We don't really want to be batting last too many times, do we? I don't know about you, but I just want it to be competitive and to be a really good series, because I'm a bit worried that Indian cricket is... The fans out there are obviously enamoured with the IPL, and I just want to see some really good competitive Test cricket to show... I mean, I'm sure there's loads of Indian fans that still love Test cricket, but I want them to say that...
No, there are plenty of them. I mean, the thing is, there's a big difference between the audiences that you see in the ground and the people that are following it avidly on websites or on Quick Info or whatever there are. I mean, the interest hasn't waned at all. It's just it looks slightly different on television. And in Virat Kohli, they've got a captain who without any doubt, has a burning desire to make India the number one in the world, as it is, but to make India a force to be reckoned with in all forms of the game.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt in his mind that India being a top test side is extremely important.
That's good.
And, you know, I don't think that there's an issue there. And let's face it, you know, Indian fans, I don't think that the India winning test matches hand over fist is going to put people off in India, to be perfectly honest.
Yes.
They are. I think they'll be too bothered if it's very, very one-sided.
Yeah, grind the English into the ground. Yeah. Yeah, I'd hope we see some good crowds though. I mean, because they're big stadiums out there. Sometimes the crowds can look a little bit sparse.
I mean, you know, it'd be interesting to see the test matches in Rajkot and Vizag, obviously sort of new venues. I've been to both places actually in the last couple of years of my IPL travel. So you know, there's a lot of love for cricket out there in all parts of India, as you know. So
yeah,
I'm sure the crowds will be good, and I'm sure the cricket will be entertaining.
Excellent. Just a couple of quick questions just to round it off. Did you have much success in India as a player? I can't remember.
I had one tour there in 2001, I think it was. It was 40-odd. We lost the series 1-0. But, yeah.
You don't fancy coming out of retirement to open with Alistair Cook?
I think that is very much out of the question. Especially given that I'm sat in bed recovering from a hernia operation as we speak. So.
Oh, dear. Sorry about that. I did actually see your 100 in Brisbane in 1998. I was in the Barmy Army there that day, and that was a superb inning. So I always kind of remember your batting quite. Yeah, I remember your batting quite fondly. We were really unlucky on that tour, actually. I think we should have got a draw. There was some dodgy third umpiring decisions with a run out of Slater in the final test.
Sydney, I remember it
very well. Yeah, I still don't know how Torfall came to that decision, and I've never forgiven him. I'm very bitter, as you can tell. And just before you go, two more questions. Firstly, how's it going with your music? Because I bought your album, Songs from the Sun House, and I really enjoyed it. Are you still recording?
Not much happening at the minute, but there are stuff sort of bubbling away, but I have nothing to report right now.
No more? You're not in the recording studio?
No, but I do have a sort of an album which is partially completed, so, and goodness knows when that will happen, but there are still one or two things going on.
Excellent. Well, I'll look out for that if it comes to fruition. And finally, final question. I suppose you get asked this a lot as well. What is it like working with Mr. Bob Willis?
It is fantastic. He is a very, very fine man. he's a lot of fun. And, he's great to work with.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's brilliant to sort of sit there and kind of everyone's holding their breath to wait and see what he's going to come out with next. it's great. It's a pleasure to turn up and work with him every day.
Is he like that off camera as well?
No.
No? What's he like off camera?
No, he's a great bloke, very, very amusing, very dry, very, very generous. He's just one of life's great men.
Excellent. Yeah, I've always loved Bob Dylan because I'm quite a Bob Dylan fan as well, and I know that Bob loves his Bob Dylan. Has he ever sort of got onto you to release an album of Dylan covers or anything?
No, he hasn't. But we knock a couple of the lyrics around every once in a while.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thanks a lot for talking to us, Mark. I wish you well in your recovery, and hopefully England will pull a few surprises in India, and it'll and we'll be competitive and maybe surprise everyone.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Mark.
All right, cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye.